Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.
You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Take a Sip. The need to refill, to refuel, to top off, to recharge is an essential point in time for the wine carafe, for the car, for the marathon runner, for you and for me. When there is a great party or the cedar, shabbos, or who knows, a wonderful wedding, the carafe needs to be refilled frequently, otherwise it will run dry and not pour out anything. The car that does not get the coolant topped off will at a certain moment stop working. If the gas tank does not get refilled, it will run empty and stop working. Does electric vehicles pert nothing? Water is essential to the human life as much as it is to any other of these examples provided. When a person doesn't drink enough water, we will run on empty too. Anne Grandjean, the Associate Professor of Medical Nutrition Education at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, provides us with the following information. We read the words from her studies in Bottom Line Health that say that, in addition to impaired cognitive function and lethargy, dehydration is associated with increased risk for falls, gum disease, and bladder cancer. Oh my, what is it then that we need to know about this important thing for our lives? Even though we often hear that most people should drink 8 glasses of water a day, there isn't really any scientific evidence to support this approach. The first official recommendation for water consumption was issued in 2004 by the Institute of Medicine, the health arm of the government-sponsored National Academy of Sciences. This so-called adequate intake, AI, for males age 19 and older is 15 8-ounce cups daily. For females of the same age group, 11 cups daily. Oh my goodness, that surely seems like a lot of water. What do you think? I'm attached to the kitchen sink. Okay, what else is she saying then on this? Sound like a lot of liquid? Remember, this represents total water intake, including the water that comes from food. And for most people, this amounts to roughly 20% to 25% of the total. When focusing on water alone, the AI includes about 13 cups of beverages, including water, for males age 19 and older, and 9 cups for females of the same age group. Contrary to what many people believe, there is no evidence to show that coffee, tea, and other caffeinated beverages contribute to dehydration. So it's fine to count these beverages as part of your daily fluid intake. Then how important is it to drink enough fluids? Or with other words, what are the dangers of not drinking enough? The first symptoms of dehydration usually are dry mouth and thirst. If dehydration progresses, headache, dizziness, sleepiness, and muscle weakness may occur. Dehydration that produces a 2% drop in body weight due to water loss via sweat, vomiting, diarrhea, etc., is associated with declines in short-term memory, attention, and other mental functions. Similar levels of dehydration can lead to fatigue and reduce strength and endurance. Chronic low water intake can increase risk for illnesses. When female factory workers significantly increase their water intake by 3 times or more. During their shifts for 2 years, the rate of urinary tract infections, UTIs, dropped from 9.8% to 1.6%. Not all research findings agree, but one large study that followed 47,000 men for 10 years found that those with the highest levels of fluid consumption, 10.6 cups daily, had half the risk for bladder cancer as men who consumed the least fluids, 5.5 cups. The sensation of thirst is blunted as we age, so drink when you're thirsty becomes a less reliable guide. For many people, appetite also lessens with age, so you can end up getting less water from food. During exercise, you lose more water through sweating, so make sure that you drink enough water when you exercise. Generally, 1 to 2 cups before, 1 to 2 cups during, and 1 to 2 cups after your workout. This is especially important in hot and humid weather or at high altitudes. Cool. Those are some good tips. We can sure use those. Then to close this medical lesson on water consumption, Dr. Grandjean continues. Many chronic illnesses, diabetes and kidney disease among them, raise the risk for dehydration. Diarrhea and vomiting can present an acute dehydration danger, and water alone won't replace the minerals, such as sodium and potassium, that you lose. If either is severe or prolonged, or if you can't keep liquids down, consult your doctor. When dehydration is mild to moderate, the treatment is simple: drink more liquids. Severe dehydration is a medical emergency that requires immediate medical help. Some symptoms are the same as those for mild dehydration, but greatly magnified: extreme thirst, profound sleepiness or lethargy, and very dry mouth. Sweating and urination come to a virtual halt. Older adults especially may experience irritability and lethargy, while severe dehydration also may lead to delirium, marked by disorientation and delusions, or unconsciousness. If you experience any of these symptoms, or witness them in another person, especially an older adult, contact a doctor. The Bottom Line Health, June 1st, 2010. Okay, you might say, Pastor, that is interesting information and very useful, but we are in church, are we not? Are we now quoting secular institutions instead of God's word? No, I can answer we are not, and yes, we are. We are quoting secular institutions because it only again and again confirms God's wisdom, God's design, and God's word. But I started with a car and wine, probably expensive ones that are being poured from a carafe, the car that needs gas, and the radiator that needs water. They all need to be refilled, as well does our body. And it all costs money in these already very expensive days. We take care of our cars, our expensive juices, and our expensive wines. But lots of times, we neglect our bodies. Oh, too expensive. I have too many bills to pay. Jesus says to you and to me in Revelation 21:6, Tree of Life version. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will freely give from the spring of the water of life." Oh, wait. Hey, who? Revelation 22:17. Tree of Life version. The Ruach and the Bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes freely take the water of life. The words of Jesus in the last book of our canon, in the last book of the Bible. The book of Revelation says it, Revelation 7:15. 17, Common English Bible. This is the reason they are before God's throne. They worship him day and night in his temple, and the one seated on the throne will shelter them. They won't hunger or thirst anymore. No sun or scorching heat will beat down on them, because the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them. He will lead them to the springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That living water that we talk about here is that living water that refreshes not just your body and your mind, but it also refreshes your spirit and your soul. It is the living water that provides real food for your body. Jesus, Yeshua, spoke these words to the Samaritan woman who was at the well. The Gospel of John, 4:1-15, Tree of Life version, Yeshua offers living water. Now Yeshua knew that the Pharisees heard that he was making and immersing more disciples than John. Although Yeshua himself was not immersing, his disciples were. So he left Judea and went back again to the Galilee. But he needed to pass through Samaria. So he comes to a Samaritan town called Shechem, near the plot of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. So Yeshua, exhausted from the journey, was sitting by the well. It was midday. A Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Give me a drink, Yeshua tells her, for his disciples had gone away to the town to buy food. Then the Samaritan woman tells him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jewish people don't deal with Samaritans. Yeshua replied to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who is saying to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman tells him, You don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Then from where do you get this living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well. He drank out of it himself, with his sons and his cattle. Yeshua replied to her, Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life. Sir, the woman tells him, give me this water so I won't get thirsty or have to come all the way here to draw water. Wow, what words! The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him. When you indeed drink from this water, you want to share it because it will start to pour out of your carafe. When you stop taking in this living water, then over time it will become smelly and stale because the elements to which it is exposed are infiltrating the pure water. Or when you consume, and especially share this water, the carafe will run dry real fast. If you do not refresh the oil in the car, it will at a certain moment prevent the engine from running. If you never refresh the water in the radiator, it will at a certain moment plug up the hoses and prevent it from cooling the engine. It is the same with our spirit, with our soul. When we became a Christian, we were all excited and shared it with so many others. Then, when the bottle became less full, we shared it with fewer people because we didn't want to run out. And then suddenly, without even realizing it, we are on empty and are not going anywhere anymore. We don't zealously share the word anymore. Oh yes, Jesus saves. I'll pray for you. I love the Lord. In all you do, praise the Lord. Jesus lives in me. Glory to God. Amen. Love the Lord. Yes, we have heard them all, but the real fire of your love for God, the fire that burns high in your spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, on which we spoke so much in the last couple of weeks. That fire is nothing more than a smoldering flame, and the last drop of wine from the carafe, the last drop from the well of living water, lies on your tongue. And the carafe is empty, your spirit is running dry and trying to do it on its own. Oh, I don't need to go to the gas station, I still have a quarter tank, and the onboard computer says I can still drive 140 miles on this. What you do not realize at this moment is that the onboard computer takes averages, and you've been driving pretty expensive the last 300 miles, you might be able to get another 50 miles out of it, definitely not 140 miles. Oh yes, we can go on and on. We do not need to go to church today. We can just stay home. Still plenty of living water in the carafe. We don't have to surrender ourselves to Yeshua today. There is still plenty of water left and it looks clear enough to me. But does this water look clear enough to our Elohim, to our Lord and our Savior? It happens just like with the little specks of stuff that do not belong in the gasoline of our car and the incorrect burning of the engine. It happens so that we need that fuel filter to prevent this foreign matter to enter the engine. We also need that cleaning and the new air filter to keep a smooth, running engine. We also, as human beings, need that filter of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, upon our lives. It is the pollutions of our mind and of the world that speck by speck pollutes the purity of our living water in us, and with that the purity of our spirit, preventing our real engine, the Holy Spirit, to function at full speed. A full speed that we need on our path of holiness, our highway of salvation, our fight for progressive sanctification. As Christians, we especially need to realize that it is surely not once saved, always saved. Our salvation is something we need to work on each and every day. This, however, means that our carafe also needs a frequent fill-up. It is not to the world or to the water tap that we need to come to find refreshment of this kind. The spirit, the ruach, which is created by God, which is provided so that it will be able to fuse with his ruach, the ruach hakodesh, the Holy Spirit, will need to cry out to him. And then, as the words of the prophet Isaiah say, Isaiah 41:17, 20, Tree of Life version. The poor and needy ask for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, Adonai, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare hills and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land into fountains of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine together with the box tree, so they may see and know, consider and understand together that the hand of Adonai has done this, the Holy One of Israel has created it. At the olive tree, the people of Israel, the other trees, the different nations, you, me, we are the wild olive tree, which is grafted into the tree of the root of Jesse. Yes, all will see that the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, has created this oasis of fruitfulness, this land created with living water. But what is happening is that people more and more are leaning to their own understanding and are justifying their own decisions as being from God. They listen to all those surrounding them, and with that half or almost empty bottle, it is easy enough to fill up on this. They are like the people, and also our nations are like the nation that Jeremiah was speaking about in chapter 2. The image that people and nations have of God, if we are not very careful, and if we are not continuously on our toes, keeps on changing, little by little, dust speck at a time. Yes, so small that we might not see it at first. It is like a root that grows through the foundation and then makes it crack, and then the prophet comes and says it are clear. Jeremiah 2:11, 13, Tree of Life version. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are not gods? Yet my people have exchanged their glory for worthless things. Be appalled at this, O heavens. Be utterly horrified and dumbfounded. It is a declaration of Adonai. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they dug their own cisterns, cracked cisterns that hold no water. What is going on with this world? What is going on with this nation? What is going on with us? What is going on with you? Is our nation, our country, is it a servant, a slave by birth? No, then why is it plundered by Satan? Why is the fire in our spirit, why is the fire in our soul, in our hearts, being stolen away by the so-called needs of this world? Why is it now more important to finish that house with Habitat for Humanity? Why is it more important to watch that game? Or why is it more important to get those groceries? Or why is it more important to watch that movie on pay-per-view? Or why is it more important to wash the car? Or why is it more important to pass this bill? Or why is it more important to sign this contract? Or why is it more important to finish this work? Or why is it more important to buy the articles than refilling our carafe, our bottle with the living water in the house of the Lord? Jeremiah goes on and lays it on the line. But what is it that an oasis does in the desert? It attracts more people. It has people long for more. Then is it that we are, with the words of Jeremiah, slowly polluted and stayed away from God, pretending that this God that the world is presenting is the true God Elohim, the God of Israel? The God in which image people say that it is okay, you've already been forgiven, it really does not matter what you do, it is all under the blood. What do you mean asking for forgiveness? Don't you believe that Jesus already saved you? You truly deny his saving grace if you would be asking for forgiveness? It is already under the blood. Come on now, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, or Or do we cry out to Adonai, asking him for the water that Yeshua, Jesus, spoke about to the Samaritan woman, the living water that quenches the soul, that refreshes the spirit, that creates a sizzle, and that which is fuel for the zeal of the fire of the Holy Spirit within us, that provides us with the urge that says, come with me, log on online, listen on the radio, this Holy Spirit fire, that is what everyone needs. It urges to study the Word of God, it urges to pick up the Bible or that study book, it urges to re-listen to that message, it urges to discuss, it urges to share, it urges to declare it to the nations, to the states, to the counties, to the cities, to the family and friends. Yeshua lives in me, and I will never again be thirsty because he gives me the living water. Oh, wow, yes, hallelujah. And now they all think that you are crazy, a holy roller, and a lunatic on steroids and some of Willie's wacky weed. But when they see your attitude, when they see your improvement in health, when they see the improvements you made on the job, when they see your growing status in the community, your influence in your family and among your friends, when they see your humility, when they see your love for others, when they, in other words, see Jesus within you. When they see Jesus within you, they will want to know what this is and they will want to know more. They want you to share. They want to tap into the happiness, the joy, the wellness that you found in the Lord. But then again, for you to share this, it means that you need to have your tank full, your oil refreshed, your radiator topped off, your carafe filled. This is where we come together in fellowship, in the same room or through our WebEx meetings, to be filled with that living water, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 58:11, Tree of Life version. Then Adonai will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. It is Adonai who will heal you, who will answer your questions, who will provide you with wisdom on what to say and on what to do. Does it cost? Financially, no. But for the rest, yes, you need to do away with your earthly desires and replace them with godly desires. Desire to be in God's presence, to know Him, to commune with Him, to be under His protection and under His will. No longer the protection of the world and the will of the world or the will of self, but God's will. As Jesus taught us to pray, Yehaseh Retzoneka Ba'aretz Kahasher Na'asa Vashamayim, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This means indeed not just a sacrifice from Christ on earth by his death on the cross, but also a sacrifice, however, thousands of times smaller from us, giving up that which is not of this world, but of God. Compared to the sacrifice of Jesus, this is indeed truly nothing, that which we need to do for him. But it still is a great and difficult thing for so many. Many a Christian backslides, many a Christian that come to church each week backslides. Missing a church service once might make you feel bad. Missing the second one, okay, I go next week. But then it becomes easier and easier. When First Lady and I do not go to the gym, we feel bad. Our bodies will feel it too. We miss going to the gym. But we also experience that when we do not go for a week or 2 weeks, it becomes easier and easier to not go at all. And then all the work that we had done previously is slowly but surely dissipating. The muscles become weak again, and the couch potato has been reborn. This is why it is in our calendar. 4 times a week we go, we don't always want to, especially when it has been a really busy day or when it is really early in the morning. But we know if we go, we feel so much better. And this, my friends, is built into our bodies by God Almighty. But it is also built into our souls. Our spirits need to have communion with Him and the saints of God. When we do not continually refresh, our engine will stall and stop working. Our carafe will run empty. Our lives will be without a goal. It will have one that it can never reach. Jesus said, John 4:37, 41a, Tree of Life version, satisfying spiritual thirst. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive, for the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the crowd said, "This man really is the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Messiah." "Do I hear an amen? Who comes to the Lord Jesus, he comes to Yeshua Adonai, will know the Holy Spirit and receive the living water." Amen. Isaiah 44, 3, 5, Common English Bible. "I will pour out water upon thirsty ground and streams upon dry land. I will pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring. They will spring up from among the reeds like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, 'I am the Lord's,' and that one will be named after Jacob. Another will write on his hand, 'The Lord's,' and will take the name Israel." The Lord Jesus knows the word because he is the word. When he quotes Isaiah, he is affirming his word. We must continually be like thirsty ground, wanting to receive the living word, ready to receive the living water. Cry out to Adonai, ask him for the living water, that water that quenches the soul, that refreshes the spirit, that creates a sizzle, and that which is fuel for the zeal of the fire of the Holy Spirit within us. That provides us with the urge that says, "Come with me, log on online, listen on the radio, this Holy Spirit fire." That is what everyone needs. That living water that urges to study the Word of God, that urges to pick up the Bible or that study book. The living water that urges to re-listen to that message, that urges to discuss, that urges to share, that urges to declare it to the nations, to the states, to the counties, to the cities, to the family and friends. Yeshua lives in me, and I will never again be thirsty, because he gives me the living water. Hallelujah! Amen!
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.